Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're about to go around the NFL here in the loop. But before that, I know that you're used to at this time hearing from our guy, B. Sky. He is on his grind working. But I have it on pretty good authority. He's going to try and make his way in at some point during this broadcast. So we are.
He said he wanted to address some things with the OG John Lopez.
Yeah, he got some.
What he said last week.
Is this about that?
Maybe.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. What he said he want to look you in the eye.
I am.
And stand up to you as a man.
As a from man to man.
Let's talk about this man to man.
Yeah.
look at you in your face.
It'll be interesting if it's talking.
I mean, he can fact check me all he wants.
Oh, buddy. Fact checking is not what I'm concerned about. But some other. We were just talking about signature moves because we were showing some appreciation of Danielle Hunter and how effective his spin move has truly become. I'm surprised you did not get the Manziel show me the money.
Manziel.
How did you not put
what
that
one
up
there?
What
was I thinking?
And then someone else mentioned the Garcia Rock the Baby, which reminded me of one of the ones I was thinking of. I can't imagine that it's all that important, but it makes me smile every time how Craig Kimbrell, the reliever, I don't even know where he is anymore. But where he would do that thing where he does like the field goal post except down.
Yeah, he's
every
like,
time as he is
he poses.
In the
I don't
stretch,
know what it is.
I don't know what that is, but yeah. I love the idea that if I do not do this silliness right here, this pitch is not going to make it over the plate, baby. Like, yeah. I don't know where it's going to go. It might end up in left field.
You know the one random thing I like, and this is from a coach. So, Eric Spoelstra from Miami. Whenever another team is going on a run, he call a timeout. He break his suit jacket back.
Oh, yeah.
And used to be.
Let you know that he is upset.
Walks about 10 feet out on the court. Well, a lot of them do that, but he puts some jelly
all
on
them. All them teeth be showing. Yeah. Like, he like, I can't believe it. Throw that suit jacket back, hands on his hips. I used to love that. They need to bring the suits
back. I am appalled.
They need to bring the suits back to the NBA, man.
I
wish they did.
Strong agree.
Yeah.
Let's
go back to the NFL, man. Remember those days?
Jack
Del Rio tried it. Remember he tried it?
Yeah.
And they say it got to be made by Reebok.
We not selling these jerseys, baby. We selling
to
this
all
merch.
Wear suits.
We need you to wear this this salute to service hoodie so that we can move some units.
Put a pin on or something.
If Reebok make a suit jacket, then feel free.
Yeah.
By the way, That might be something they need to do for these folks. But anyways, let's go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Tired of the hassle of selling your tickets? Say goodbye to the stress and let their experts be get you the best price. Download Quick Assist from your app store today, and they'll handle the rest. That's Quickassyst. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. Monday Night Football happened yesterday. Did you know that?
I did. Okay. I didn't. I tried. I tried to watch.
Did you?
I did. I got a scout's honor. I was never a scout. But either way, I tried. It was bad.
It was bad. Now, there was two games, one on ABC, one on ESPN. And I had both of them on, and I'm going to be completely honest, did not pay very much attention to
because it was
either.
Bad.
But the thing that I did get a very good accounting of, I'm pretty sure that Desmond Ridder, who had to come in as the quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm pretty sure he outplayed Kirk Cousins in a game in which the Falcons won 15-9. And no, it is not a scoregami. I know that you cared. Kirk Cousins, although he did he was 11-for-17, 112 yards, touchdown, interception, nothing all that inspiring. But it just looks like he is fully washed. He's fully laundered.
And they are in quite the pickle, as it were, because he ain't going nowhere. At least he's going to be paid. That's for dang sure.
Yeah, but this feels like this game in particular, and maybe just this stretch of games for the Falcons of late with Kirk Cousins, absolutely feels like, all right, the gap situation with Kirk Cousins, we're good here. And I understand they're probably continuing with him for some level of honor or whatever, right? You went and you paid him in a big way, and then you kind of made it clear that he was going to be the starter. Mm-hmm. And then here Michael Penix falls to you, and you're like, all right, cool, we have a future. But it seems like that future might need to be now, here soon.
And we were all saying, what are they doing? Well, the bigger question is, why did they pay Kirk Cousins, and they should have just went ahead and drafted Michael Penix?
Yeah, but I don't know that he would be there.
But, man. That was a bad, bad signing.
Now, I know that game did get a little bit more interesting towards the end. And you know what I have to say? Don't really care about that. But they do break a 4-game losing streak the Falcons do there. So I guess salute to them as they try and fight their way and claw their way into winning the NFC South. More power to them there. I'm going to be honest. Don't really care very much about that, that race.
But at least that was the other game.
Yeah, there was the other game where at least there was one side of this that played some good football of the four teams that played, and that was the Minnesota Vikings. They continue on this path. 30-12 is the victory over the Bears. That also is not a scoregami. I know that you care. where Sam Darnold, okay game.
It was okay.
All right, I guess.
I thought the bigger story, obviously Caleb Williams, that dude. Now he's not done, washed, whatever you want to call.
No, Kirk Cousins. He's still
he's a rookie, guys.
No, I know.
Relax,
but
he's a rookie.
But his brain is scrambled right now. I don't think he has a clue what's going on.
He just got to get through the season.
Yeah, he just got to get through it. Yeah.
Get the offensive coach.
Yep.
Is there any way they can get him battle pay, combat pay?
No kidding.
That is what he's dealing with.
Yeah.
And maybe when we talk about spending stuff. Maybe Troy Aikman and Joe Buck have something interesting here. Troy Aikman specifically, because on the broadcast, he brought up the possibility of the Bears trying to get Caleb Williams some help in the head coaching department in a very particular way.
Certain whether or not they can be a head coach. There has been discussion about do you give up some picks and see if you can maybe make a deal for a guy like Kyle Shanahan. I would be all in on that. Because he would develop a quarterback, and he's a hell of a head coach. But can you pull that off? That's a better question. And who might you hire that has no head coaching experience as an offensive guy? You never know the answer to that as to how good they're going to be.
This is something that has legs but not being reported as having legs.
Oh, really? So you like
Troy
this
Aikman
idea?
Troy Aikman doesn't say that without... He does not.
I mean, there's been speculation going, and I know Mike Florio might have been the originator of the kind of this idea and really pumping it up and getting the juices going, right? Getting the people talking on the idea of, I would go ahead and use capital to see if I can go get Kyle Shanahan out of a place where at least right this moment they are not winning necessarily, and it's possible that they are at the back half or back end of a window, right? And maybe there's not a want to rebuild or whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening there. That just seems like you think that the Niners would actually give up stuff.
No,
for
no,
Kyle
I don't
Shanahan
know. I don't know if they would or not. What I'm saying is that is so not Troy Aikman to pretty much acknowledge it as something that's real to say that on the air in a nationally televised broadcast. That he doesn't do that. He's good. but he doesn't do stuff like that. All of a sudden, yeah, I think about that. So I think there's something there, at least from the Bears' perspective.
Yeah, but I just can't imagine that the Niners would want to get. It feels like I know that John Lynch is there with the Niners, and I have a feeling about the way that that organizational structure works that I'm sure people would decline. But it does feel like he serves at the behest of Kyle Shanahan. It feels like they were like, hey, head coach, you pick who you get to work with. He'll handle the GM stuff. And not to mean to say that fully that John Lynch is like some level of figurehead. I do think he does the job, but I think he works closely in tandem with Kyle Shanahan and helping to execute Kyle Shanahan's vision, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
And I don't know that you completely uproot your system so that you can get some picks off of the Chicago Bears.
But that doesn't mean the Bears don't have that wandering eye and have maybe at least thought about it or tried to reach out or whatever. Again, the fact that it was Troy Aikman saying that, he knows things, and number two, he doesn't usually say stuff like that.
I think what he knows is that the Bears are desperate, which we all know it. We've seen that organization for a while, right? We all have seen that organization for a little bit. In fact, I think it was Sean mentioning it earlier today on the program, the idea that we got some reporting like last week or so that before Matt Eberflus, who is the most recent head coach of the Bears who was fired, before he was hired away from the Indianapolis Colts staff, that he was apparently near to being fired. Mm-hmm. So he went and hired a dude who was close to losing his coordinator job. Yeah. That's fun to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a snapshot of the Chicago Bears' competence or maybe the lack thereof. So good luck to them on hiring another coach, and good luck to Caleb Williams. I hope that you are able to keep this upright.
His brain is just totally scrambled right now.
Yeah, all them Bears fans is worried about C.J. Stroud, big bro in him. Man, you should have been worried about your organization covering for him, man.
Exactly.
Sheesh. Some other things that happened, though, in that game, before that game kicked off at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. The Vikings had a very touching tribute. No laughing matter. Stop laughing. Because Randy Moss obviously has been dealing with cancer, and there's kind of been this this rallying cry of "Let's Moss Cancer," right? Obviously, that is the signature move of Randy Moss, and obviously his last name. And you know, as the Vikings captains walk out to midfield for the coin toss, behind them the Vikings have a couple of what's the right word? A couple of legends for the Vikings.
That's fair.
I know that Chris Carter was there, and they are carrying a Randy Moss jersey out to midfield. It's really, obviously started his play in Minnesota, had a lot of great years there. They love him very much there, as evidenced by Justin Jefferson, one of the best wide receivers in the league. Give him a shout out when he scored a touchdown.
To Randy Moss after the touchdown.
How about that? Justin Jefferson. The whole scene, people in the stands and just the way they were talking about it. And, Randy Moss, I guess he's officially kind of talked about, battling cancer now. Yeah.
Thanks to
he was outed.
Larry Fitzgerald Sr. it was Carter and then Jake Reed as well. So they were out there with those guys holding up a Moss jersey. And of course, a lot of thoughts and prayers to that man as he goes through a tough time and has given us a lot of fun times to watch. So you obviously wish him well. Some other things around the NFL. There was a couple of disciplinary things that happened in this week, and both of them very fascinating. I guess let's go with both of them also tied to teams that we've already talked about. Let's talk about the Niners with Devondre Campbell. Obviously, we saw the scene this weekend.
Yeah.
Was that Thursday, in fact?
That was Thursday.
That was Thursday Night Football. That's right.
That was the game we gladly missed.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The game that without any touchdowns. Yeah. The first one of the season.
Oh, that's right. We were at the bar.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That game is 9-6.
Yeah, we're good on that. Devondre Campbell, he had signed a 1-year deal this season. He was there because Dre Greenlaw, who was typically the starting linebacker alongside Fred Warner, was dealing with an injury. He was coming back. He ultimately made his return in week 15. But Devondre Campbell being benched, felt some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually in the third quarter, where they came to him like, hey, we need you to get in the game, he's like, no, I'm not. Actually, apparently John Lynch said that this happened earlier in the game where they found out. And John Lynch apparently ripped him a new you-know-what at some point. And John Lynch was the one who sent him to the locker room with his towel on his head. Well, after all of that, I know that on Sunday, Jay Glazer on Fox said that the Niners were doing research on how long they could suspend him under the CBA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could cut him, but they wanted to make it hurt. They wanted to make sure that no, you were like, we're not giving you freedom for this. We're going to make it hurt. And ultimately, that's what we found out is
Devontae. Well, they made it hurt. They made it hurt where it counts.
Suspended for the remainder of the season. So no, they will not release him and let him go sign somewhere else. You will stay on this team, but without your freedom, but you will not play and you will not collect a paycheck.
You will not get paid. That's a bleep you. Yeah. And you know what?
But it's a bleep. It's a bleep you move that he made.
Yeah. No, it was he started to bleep you.
Yeah.
So they said bleep you back.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're doing that to us? Well, guess what?
All right. I got you.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good move. I think it would be wholeheartedly supported by anyone who's watched this team or saw what happened.
Yeah. And also, I think that kind of put the nip in the bud where other players ain't going to do this.
Well,
other players ain't just going to walk out and then hopefully, you know, get released and signed to a playoff team or something like that. So
I think most players are probably in line with not doing that. Like this feels like an anomaly amongst the player class, amongst kind of like the moral code.
They are mad.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. But if let's say he did just walk off the field and quit on the team and he got released and signed to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I think other players would probably try that same move if they was in a bad situation. So that cut that all the way out.
No, absolutely. All the way. Yeah, good move.
Yeah. So how about this one? Okay, so you have that one. Are you interested in this one where the Baltimore Ravens have excused Diontae Johnson from practice? He had been suspended for a week after basically not getting a lot of touches generally in the offense. They traded for him from, what was it? Was it Carolina that he got traded from? And so that was one of those pieces that everybody was looking at, like, ooh, is he an interesting guy at the trade deadline, especially for these Houston Texans? Well, he has not been able to get along very well with the Ravens after he was suspended by the team for a game, and he was eligible to come back for this week, and the team was like, nah, we have mutually agreed.
Oh, the old mutually agreed
for Diontae Johnson to miss team activities this week.
Mutual is me and the general manager. is what they're saying. It's not Harbaugh and the and general manager and Diontae Johnson. It's we have mutually agreed. I don't know about him.
Yeah, he can mutually agree to not show up for security. We'll throw him out here like Jazz and Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
But yeah. This is kind of wild. That right? Like again, this feels like it's punitive as well. Where. Doesn't it feel like you should just cut him, but I do wonder if they wonder if he would go somewhere else and flourish in this time period, maybe even Houston.
There are ways to get these things done. Now, that's not to say that, you know, neither Johnson nor whomever, you know, Campbell tried or their agents tried to get out, but that's the way to do it. The way they've done it is how you get suspended.
Well, but right now, they're not out. Like, Diontae Johnson remains with the Ravens. He just is not working out with the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Devontae Campbell on that
But he got suspended, too.
Yeah, he did get suspended, but by the team. Like, he didn't get suspended from the league or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Campbell, an interesting part about that. If you have any doubts whether he's with the team or not, reporters that had said that you go in the locker room, his locker is cleared out. His nameplate is gone. There's nothing in there.
He ain't playing a snap for that team again. It's over with.
Oh, I'm not
man.
Talking about playing snaps. He's not coming back to that building.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's over with. You like, out.
His key card don't work no more.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, you are done with this team. You're not on this team anymore, but officially we got to suspend you.
Right.
So you don't go to another team.
Yeah.
We were talking about
this week.
That's right. We were talking about Randy Moss, obviously dealing with a cancer diagnosis and all the love that was poured in by Vikings fans. But otherwise, a couple of texts that came in. One of the 713 said it's ironic to hear Joe Buck saying shout out to Randy Moss in this instance. Absolutely. With all that hemming and hawing he did about Randy Moss fake mooning the crowd.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
that. Yeah, that's right. What term did he? It was really like disgusting or something.
Something like that. And I was just like, come on, man. He didn't actually show his cheeks.
Yeah.
And then also, 713, rumor says Randy Moss beat his cancer diagnosis because it was isolated in one-on-one, providing yet another, once again, Randy Moss one-on-one wins.
There you go.
We hope that he does win, just like he did a lot of those instances on nine routes in the NFL. All right, that's around the NFL on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, a lot of people are asking, now that the AFC South is cinched up, is it time to close up shop for the regular season? 713-572-4610. Let's have that discussion next.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
From the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, it's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. We'll be giving out a pair of tickets to what Figgy is affectionately calling the Beyonce concert. As Beyonce and the Pips, and the Pips in this instance are the Ravens and the Texans. That game will be happening Christmas Day, and you have an opportunity to maybe go, courtesy of Sports Radio 610 here, if you're listening during the noon o'clock hour. During the 12 o'clock hour, we'll give those tickets away. But right now, let's have this question about the Texans as... Hold on. The Texans, they did something on Sunday. I can't remember what it was. They clinched something or other. Do you remember? Is there any, like, maybe former Texans coaches that could tell us?
Help me out, Figgy.
What they did?
I know it was something happened.
It was something that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that thing happened, and I'm sure somebody will let me know here.
Yeah.
That thing happened, and it made it so.
AFC South champions two years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the.
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Thank you. No, dude, it's all good to interrupt. I really needed that one.
Salute to Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, thanks,
that,
Bill O'Brien.
Looking forward to the playoffs.
I always appreciate him helping me out because I've been forgetting sometimes. AFC South, back to back, do you win these titles? But now. Mm-hmm. This time, instead of doing it in week 18, you did it with 3 weeks to spare. And the question has risen, right? Do you, and I use the term close up shop, which I understand. I'm here trying to be quaint and folksy, right? Like, I'm sure especially people in that building would take great umbrage with that use. But like, rest is one of those things that is absolutely necessary. Playing the car crash sport, right, is the place where you keep people healthy or get them rest, as it felt like it was evident with the bye week, the difference in this team. But is it time for that? Is it time to kind of maybe rest some guys if with the situation that you have? You've locked yourself into the playoffs. You've given yourself at least that 4 seed. You give yourself home in the first game. And do you feel like you should probably find some ways to rest some guys or get some guys get time off their feet as you head into the playoffs?
You can almost feel our listeners, and you can read some of the comments here.
713-572-4610.
And obviously Twitch and YouTube as well. You can almost feel it. You can read the comments of, like, what are you guys, crazy? Resting, to me, is out of the question. I think it's an absolute no. And that's what most people will agree to, right? I mean, they have a long way to go. They got a lot still to prove offensively, obviously, of course. But I do think there's an interesting aspect to this.
Okay.
Now, maybe it's not resting, but let's say the Texans don't get the desired result.
On Saturday?
On Saturday.
Without Mahomes or with Mahomes?
Well, whatever. Let's just say they lose.
I just really wanted to get a better picture of what it was.
Yeah, well, this is where it gets interesting to me. You got the Ravens coming in for the Beyonce game. They, you know, they want to see Beyonce too, and then they're coming in.
That's why they're coming in?
Yeah, to see Beyonce. But then as it stands right now, who do you play in the first round of the playoffs here? Just 2 weeks later.
As of right now, I believe that is the Baltimore Ravens.
So it's not, I'm all in with, you know, the listeners or anybody, and maybe you can state a contrarian opinion on this.
If there's anybody who can be contrarian.
Yeah. It's not rest, but do you, you know, quote unquote, show everything against the Ravens on Christmas Day when you know you're going to probably face, then you'll have a clearer picture. As well, when you're probably going to face them in the first round of the postseason. That's where my mind went.
That's interesting, because I had not considered just the idea of there's a possibility of if things stay where they are, even if you are trying, you could still end up in a place where you get the spin the block type game in the playoffs, where you just played the Ravens and then you get them again in the same circumstances.
That's kind of what happened with the Browns
last year. It's exactly what happened with the Browns last year. So, yeah, you want to win. Yeah, you don't want to rest anyone. But that game's going to matter a lot more than Christmas Day, especially if you lose this week. You know, you go to 9-6.
Just by the nature of it being playoffs versus regular season.
But especially if you lose this week, if you win, you're kind of like, okay, well, maybe this, maybe that. But you'll be pretty much locked in, and you are already, you know.
But I feel like the Texans is a team that need to get it. They need to figure it out, man.
Yes.
I don't think it's a team that already figured it out and saying, you know what, this game don't matter. It's not like the Detroit Lions where it's like, okay, we got this.
Yeah.
We just need to get to the playoffs. They really need to find an answer to this offensive line, the running game, the offense overall.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they in a place where they could just chill.
And I totally agree. It feels like D'Amico Ryans in some way spoke to this when he was asked, this is D'Amico Cut 2 here from the coach's show. He was asked about the three remaining games and the impact of seeding on the way they go about this.
Yeah, I think the one thing is you don't relax, right? Kind of pulled up. Somebody sent me an image yesterday of the Kobe Bryant quote. Like, they asked him, like, well, right? You're not happy? You guys, this game two is like, job's not done, finished. Right, and it's kind of that same mentality, like not finished, like, yeah, we're just getting started. We're in and now, but as we're here, like, how can we continue to improve? Like, you want to be playing your best football when you hit the playoffs. So you want to be hitting on all cylinders. And I think we can continue to improve as a team in some areas. And that's what I'm looking forward to over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. And so it makes it very evident that it feels like D'Amico is not in that mindset. I was like, what's the word? Mind space, mindset of closing up shop. I do wonder, right, because I think one of the things that is brought up in that line of thinking is if you actually do believe that there is progress, because I do think that there are some people that come from almost a nihilistic perspective or defeatist perspective of how much better is this offense actually going to be, because I feel like that's what we're talking about here without saying it, right?
Yeah.
How much better is this offense actually going to get in these final few games, and is it better just for this offense to be healthy as opposed to not actually getting better and possibly, you know, losing people to injury? Hey, you saw, did you see Joe Mixon stay down a little bit longer after a hip drop tackle?
Ankle.
Right? Like, did that scare you all?
Wheel, man. That's his wheel right there. Because
if that doesn't happen, do you know how many rush attempts Dameon Pierce has taken this season?
Mm-hmm. Not many.
15.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I heard that this morning on Pan and Pendergast. I'm like, is that accurate?
Remember a few weeks ago, I was saying he had eight carries.
Right.
I mean, he's like not even in the equation carrying the ball.
Right. So I do hear that, but I do think that, man, you're not near good enough offensively to be able to shut this thing down. I did find it interesting though that somebody on the text line, first of all, from the 832, y'all better not mess up my fantasy season. I understand. Okay, fair enough.
It's playoffs already. Touche.
Well, that's exactly why all of a sudden your favorite player not playing, the dude who got you to the playoffs is going to not be there. But somebody said, let me see, rest sounds good. No, that's not what I was looking at. What was the other thing? The idea of offense resting, or offense not resting, the defense can rest. Offense, you like, I don't even know. Would you, if you could kind of partially rest or maybe get certain dudes a little bit of time, would you do that, or who would you even consider for doing
it? It would have to be on the defensive side. Offense, you know, for all the reasons that we've talked about, there's no room, there's no, you know, no chance you're going to, I mean, you're trying to get the offensive line. We're just talking about the offensive line, you know, gaining some confidence, getting better since they had sort of a decent starting point and all that. Nothing really on offense that you do. Defense, maybe. Defense,
especially, you're deep on the defensive line. I think D'Amico was making a crack about that.
They had nine players active.
They had a lot of active guys. Yeah. Maybe you are even heavier with the rotation or whatever.
Yeah.
But one of the things about rest in general is kind of funny is you had a week 14 bye week this year, right? Like, you had the late bye week, which in theory should help out all of this cause. Like, I just continue to lean to the idea of, no, you need to go full bore and see if you can squeeze the most out of what this team
especially
is.
Especially these next two games. These next two games, Now the last game of the year, then of course you could start talking about who plays, who don't play, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But these next two games are important.
Yeah, I might be interested in that as well, because obviously you're guaranteed a 4 seed in the home playoff game. There's still some opportunities to move around here, as you're only one game back of the Steelers. That 3rd seed is a possibility if you win, I think, 2 out of 3 games?
Right.
Or something like that, 2 out of 3?
Depending on what they do. And they don't have an easy schedule, the Steelers, the rest of the way. I think they have the Chiefs win right after the Texans, I believe.
Yeah, they have the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Bengals. So at least two of those are tough, really tough ones that they are going to have that you could put you in a place where you can move up to 3 and maybe possibly avoid both of those teams and get someone like the Chargers or whatever. And I understand that now we're talking about like matchups or whatever, but any way that you can help this Texans team out, understanding that maybe they're not playing up to the fullest capability of their situation. I am very much, I guess people tend to fall into one of two buckets. It's either give me the toughest path to make me feel like I am the real champion, or just give me the path that is easiest so that I can get as far as possible, right? And I feel like I am going to be
playoffs,
pragmatic.
Playoffs, you want the easiest path.
I am pragmatic in this situation. Let's move away from the teams that I know are the big bads. Like, let me not have to deal with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and the rest of them, right? Like, I would like to see that. So those seems like you have opportunities. Even, hell, you have an opportunity at two if things break right for
Vandermeer.
You. technically, and I understand I'm operating on technicality here, but those things are like, if you, I believe you win out, and if the Bills lose two out of the three and the Steelers get a loss as well, you can slide ahead of both of them.
So a lot of things have to happen.
But all of that, none of that can happen if you are not pushing forward and getting these wins.
Which
right?
is why you push forward and try to get these wins. As the playoff bracket stands right now, you have the Ravens in round one.
Unless the Ravens manage to get some wins and then you get the Steelers. Does that make you feel any different about sitting where you are if the Steelers are the ones to slide out?
I was going to ask y'all that. Would y'all rather play the Ravens in the wild card or first, or the Steelers? Because it's funny you said that, because Seth, I heard him talk about this morning, and he'd rather play the Ravens.
Well,
first.
He said, well, his thought process was, if you're going to continue in the playoffs, you are going to play the Ravens.
Yeah.
And so he'd rather play the Ravens at home, considering the ways that we've seen this defense
rather than on the road
make quarterbacks look lesser than themselves at home rather than on the road and in the cold.
I just
want to
get that first round win.
Yeah.
Before you get to any Ravens, you got to get that first, or any opponent, you got to get that first round win.
And that's where Seth is like, look, man, I've been there, done that on the division, on the, you know, the divisional game or whatever, that first round game where you get that win. Like, I want to see if you have the opportunity to go further. But yeah, I think all of that starts with trying to give yourself the best opportunity, the best best tournament bracket to start with, if possible. And I think that all of that, plus also getting your offense to get humming as close as possible. And I think that starts with playing these games out to a full degree. And that also very much starts with Sunday night, or Sunday in the middle of the day. It's not the night. Why would it ever be a night game? Would it, right? At Arrowhead versus the Kansas City Chiefs, which you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping here on a Tuesday, including apparently Lopez is in on college basketball. We'll do that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' right here on Sports Radio 610, where I had not seen this until just a moment ago. And I'm really interested in how you hear this, because there is a report currently on ESPN that says if the Detroit Lions reach the Super Bowl, strong if at this point, Aiden Hutchinson could be joining them on the field in New Orleans. Apparently, he is eyeing a February return after undergoing surgery in October.
First of all, I do believe it. I think he actually said it yesterday on a podcast or somewhere. So I do believe it. And they are definitely pushing for it at this point. I mean, they are. Somebody was talking about earlier about, you know, I think Figgy said somebody, you're not the Lions. Yeah, you're right, except not the Lions this week. Not the Lions where they are right now, because they've got injuries everywhere.
Like, they lost David Montgomery, running back-wise. They've lost, I believe, 15 players on defense. Like, I think that's they're in a place where they're asking dudes that weren't in camp with them to come in and be contributors, the way that they've lost the guys on defense. So I think what we saw was a team that you're going to have to go on offensive shootouts against other teams, because you just cannot execute a very particular defense, mind you, with all the guys that you have here against the high-level talent that you're going to be playing. So it feels like it's going to be a long shot after having the Lions looking like one of the best team in football, now being in a place where, are they able to sustain it? Because if they can get themselves to that place, it would be nice to just be able to be like, hey, guys, surprise, Aiden Hutchinson is here.
That would be enormous for them. Did you hear Dan Campbell drop an F-bomb twice on his radio hit this morning?
I did not.
He dropped two F-bombs. I almost gave it to Figgy, but it wasn't really that relevant. It was just kind of funny. He was basically saying, I don't care We got a bunch of guys. I can name them all that are going to play defense. Oh, he cares. You know, he cares. He says we're going to bleep and do this, and we're going to bleep and do that, and the radio hosts were hitting that dump bump button like crazy. But that would be enormous for them, no matter what level of Aiden Hutchinson you get, because they're going to have to game plan for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things at that position, man, mm-hmm. where if that guy can go and get after your quarterback, it'll blow things up, no matter what the situation is behind him. So, mm-hmm. But interesting news to keep in mind should the Lions find a continued level of success as the season rolls towards the end point of the regular season and we move into playoff football.
Yeah.
Did you see this, right? I know that we were talking about the Bears opening. I know that I think the Vegas Raiders game during that one, the Raiders Falcons game, I saw a sign that was like, thanks mm-hmm. thanks for helping us get Shador. Some Raiders fans, which, oh boy, you bought tickets to say, put that up there. That's tough. But the idea of Deion Sanders going somewhere and being the head coach has been one that it seems like is being bandied about. Obviously, he's done a fantastic job at Colorado, mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say. Even with the concerns and questions that I have had about it, I cannot deny the work that he's done there. And it seems like NFL coaches or NFL teams have kind of been thinking about the idea of that happening. They might be SOL with this one, as Deion Sanders... he was on a podcast, and I don't remember. Oh, it was Pac-Man Jones' podcast.
Okay.
In fact, and he said, quote, I love Boulder. I have every intention, every plan in the world to become the coach or to be coaching for the Colorado Buffs from here on. I want to finish here. I want to put the flag. I want my name on the mountains out here. I want to put my flag down in Colorado. Close quote.
He wants to. He has every intention to. He loves it.
I knew you. I was like, I didn't even have to ask a question. So it sounds like you do not believe what Deion is selling here.
I mean, he may be absolutely thinking in his mind, I am not going anywhere no matter what. But he said, I want to. I have every intention to. How many times have we heard that, man?
I mean, a lot.
How many times have we heard a coach say, I'm as happy as I've ever been at fill in the blank university. And then the next week they're, coaching the Commanders or something. We've heard it year after year after year. Maybe I'm jaded, but I think I'm also accurate. You know, it happens every year. So we'll see.
Yeah. We will see how that ultimately goes. Mm-hmm. But I found that to be...
I'll put my name on the mountain. All right.
I've also thought, like, he does seem, if you want to take Deion Sanders entirely genuine, which I know some people don't and some people do, yeah. I'm not going to litigate that, but he does seem to really enjoy, like, molding young people, which I think...
And he got a huge transfer yesterday.
He sure did. We'll talk more about that in college football on a Tuesday. What, you thought we were done? College football
CF boat, baby.
CF boat still rolls on. But yeah, he got a big transfer from a big school. Alabama lost a defensive end, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Or defensive tackle. Defensive lineman. Yeah. Five-star in a transfer to Colorado. So the recruiting off of, like, the name of what he's doing is still working there. How about this? This was something that happened yesterday that caused, not yesterday, on Sunday. I keep pretending like it's Monday. caused a lot of hubbub. Are you guys fans of Red Zone? NFL Red Zone?
My wife, it makes her sick. I can't keep up. How come they keep switching?
I do find that to be interesting. Like, some people, I have met people that are like, no, I don't like Red Zone. I don't feel like I can keep up with what's actually happening in these games. I'd much rather watch it.
It prevent me to keep switching back and forth.
I'm
an
addict. I'm a Red Zone addict. Like, my name is John, and I am addicted to Red Zone.
We got some Kool-Aid over there.
Yeah. Where are the cookies? But no, this drove me nuts. I was, like, legitimately angry.
Yeah, so NFL fans were with you, John, as... That doesn't feel right. Lopez. apparently, for the first time in its history of being Red Zone, since its inception, they showed commercials. I mean, Scott Hansen, who has become, like, the primary host. I know that there's the other host on the, like,
it's mostly, TV I just version of it.
That was a Sicilian. Host the other one. Shout out to that man because he don't get no love about it. Scott Hansen is the superstar. He always opens the broadcast by telling them you're getting 7 hours of commercial free football, right? That's the whole idea. We will cut between all these football games while they're in commercial, so you get all of the best of it. Except commercial free is no longer the case here. They were showing commercials, now picture in picture commercials,
or split screen,
or split screen rather. Thank you.
But they had the audio of the commercial. That's what drove me nuts.
Really?
Yeah. Like that's what drove me nuts. If you want
Scott Hansen, what'd I say?
Scott Hansen. Yeah. You said that. Yeah. By the way, the Texans play Saturday. We may have said.
Oh, so I'm Sunday. Just saying things that my brain isn't thinking now.
Oh, I see. I tried to get you off the hook. I said
Saturday
at noon. But anyway,
I mean, I'll own it. So I was the one who did it.
So Scott Hansen, like, he's a legendary figure. Like, we had him on this show a while back, and we actually asked him, how do you go to the bathroom, man? I mean, because he just sits there and just goes 7 hours.
He said his body just shuts it down.
Yeah, it, kind of. I think that's what he said. Yeah. But either way, I wouldn't mind. I get it. Everything is real estate, you know, in the broadcasting market. And that is prime real estate.
Nothing is sacred, though.
That is prime real estate. If you want to put a logo up there, you want to do what they, you know, kind of do in some soccer games with the crawl and all that, fine. Don't play the damn audio. That you just can't do that.
The audio is a bridge too far.
Yes, it is.
If I have to hear a jingle,
I don't want
to lose my
see any but progressive see, commercials.
Yeah, see, everything gets
That's
that
how,
way
I like
though.
The way you said it.
See, everything gets that way though, because even remember with social media, Instagram and Twitter, there was no ads like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see ads all day long. I think the same thing with Netflix. I haven't seen an ad on Netflix at all, but I've seen people complaining about
Netflix with ads.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the real one that I think about, like all these things mm-hmm. that start as subscriptions that end up eventually adding ads as well, is just there's more way to squeeze more money. Like, this is the basic economics of it, right?
Growth
is always necessary. Remember when cable didn't have no commercials?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the whole, hey, you pay this money, so you ain't got to pay watch these commercials. This is just content, baby. And eventually they were like, you know what also adds some more money? Selling commercials.
Get your money.
I'm honestly surprised it took this long.
Me too.
but here's why it took this long, and I think this is what gets people so irritated. This is its thing. Like, the red zone, you know, thing, the attraction is, dude, I'm going to sit here for 7 hours. And I've had days where I damn near sat there all 7 hours, you know.
You're talking about 7 hours, right? Yeah. You can get a good, 12 in?
Yeah.
Right, where you start.
With the game and late game, I should say.
Yeah, you get the Sunday night football as well after a little bit of a 60
But I'm talking about just locked in on that one channel. Just that one channel.
But see, the thing is, where it get folks, like, you ain't going to cancel it. You ain't going to be like, oh, they got some ads.
No, I'm just going to get mad.
You just going to get mad, but you still paying that money.
They got you.
Still just going to get mad. No, I hated that.
That was a wild thing to see. And just another reminder that they will always get you. Just another subscription. Today is just all subscription
all
talk here, right?
Yeah.
Like, just the various ways in which the subscriptions are messing with us. I wish I could cancel them all, but I'm not that strong of a person. Do you really want to talk about college basketball? Is this a really thing?
No, I was just, I just happened to see the AP Top 25 came out. And I said to myself, hey, I guess the SEC is a basketball league. Five teams in the top seven.
Is it five or is it seven?
Five in the top seven.
I just wanted to make sure. I was getting confused. Let me be completely
eight
honest.
In the top 25. Five teams in the top seven from the same conference?
What's the top 10 looking like?
I don't have it in front of me, but it's Tennessee, it's Auburn, it's Alabama. This is off the top of my head. Maybe I do watch more basketball than I think. It's Kentucky, A&M, I believe. No, A&M is 12. So they've got Florida.
That
Ole
is
kind
of crazy, man.
Five of the top seven teams in basketball from the SEC?
Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, Alabama, Florida, and those are the top. Those are the top.
Hey, I had it right.
Yeah, those are the top ones.
Yeah.
And I'm not far off there.
They're 12. They're really good.
It kind of throw you off. It kind of throw you off a little bit too when you're looking at the ticker on SportsCenter or something,
mm-hmm.
and you see number 5 A&M versus number 2 Florida, and you're like, wait a minute, what is that, football?
Yeah, well, here's the other thought I had, you know, just it's just stuff that goes through my head, you know, sort of passing thoughts in life, is it's a lot easier for Power 5 schools to be really, really good in basketball, because they have a bigger pool of money. Like, a lot of Group of 5 teams allocate money to basketball more than football, and I saw that stat. The percentage is actually higher allocation because they don't have a lot of money, so clearly they got a better shot with fewer players on the roster, fewer stars you have to get, so you can allocate your money to basketball and get pretty good. But the big schools just have a bleep ton of money, so they're going to always be good. Kind of a little offshoot of the NIL. Your basketball program is going to be better.
And shout out to Uncle Tillman, making sure to put that money in the University of Houston as well.
Yeah.
15th, by the way, in the AP poll. And I think they get back to the action, was it tomorrow, if I remember correctly? Tomorrow, 18th, against Toledo at the Fertitta Center. Mm-hmm. All right, that's what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Also, what's popping? looks like it's about 12 o'clock. So in the upcoming hour, a couple of tickets on a Texas Ticket Tuesday. Not for the Chiefs game. That would be weird. For the Christmas Day game where the Baltimore Ravens come to town. If you are listening in the next hour, you have an opportunity to win those. You also hear right here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. If this is the Christian Harris that we get rest of the way, what is the realistic expectation of the heights that this team can reach? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss that next.